Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise and begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God,
in the midst of your temple.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth.
Your right hand is filled with righteousness.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God, this holy mountain.
Within our citadels.
God has made himself known as a fortress.
Let Mount Zion be glad.
Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments.
This is God, our God forever and ever.
He will guide us forever.
We have thought on your steadfast love, O God,
in the midst of your temple.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth.
Your right hand is filled with righteousness.
Thank you. Grant to us, Lord, the spirit to think and to do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Well, last week we finished up the sixth commandment, so we will start the seventh commandment today. You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. The central thought here is that God created us to look after the earthly gifts that he has given to our neighbors for their life and well-being. What kinds of things do all people on earth need for their well-being? I want you to read Luke 19. And what change did Jesus bring about in Zacchaeus? As Christians, we rejoice in and look after the earthly goods that God has given us and our neighbor for the support of daily life. So what are some things that I can help to protect and care for the earthly goods of my neighbor? And we'll hit the question, start hitting the questions next week. The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday in Trinity is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall ever come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, and who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their father forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces? Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the eighth chapter. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will be put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as they are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame.
Give ear, O my people, to my teaching.
Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
Chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Here endeth our gospel reading. Thank you. sermon is based off of our gospel reading from Matthew, and the theme is God's word is a fire and hammer. The grace, mercy, peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. So should you care about pure doctrine? Should you pursue it? First, what is pure doctrine? You know what it means to be pure. Your water purifier purifies your water by taking out all the stuff, the chemicals, the microbes that you don't want to consume out of your water. Silver is purified when all the dross is removed from it. And doctrine means teaching. So pure doctrine refers to teaching that is true. Teaching that doesn't have any foreign stuff in it. Teaching that fully agrees with our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear saints in Christ, you're concerned about purity when you shop for your food. Everywhere in the grocery store, you will find ads on boxes promising no artificial ingredients, all natural, and so on. So should you be concerned with the purity of our doctrine? It seems obvious, but most think that devotion to pure doctrine is too extreme. No, what's really important is that you all just love Jesus. I mean, that's where true unity is. But when you start focusing too much upon doctrine and ask too many questions like, who is Jesus? What did he do? And what exactly did he teach? Well, then you start to get divided. You see, people are concerned that when you focus too much upon pure doctrine, instead of Jesus being the great source of unity, he becomes a sword that divides households and sets sons against fathers and daughters against mothers and daughters-in-laws against mothers-in-laws. But of course, you should be concerned with the pure doctrine. Jesus tells you to... Christ commands you to beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. And he tells you, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now their fruits are their teaching, their doctrine. If a preacher's doctrine is not pure, Jesus tells you to mark and to avoid him. Even in your small catechism, you are taught that when you pray, hallowed be thy name, you are praying that the word of God be taught in its truth and purity, and that you as children of God would also live according holy lives according to it. Well, is this even possible? I mean, is it possible to have pure doctrine? Or are you setting yourself up for a pipe dream to obtain the unattainable? Well, of course it is possible. Pure doctrine is not something you must obtain through your own great intelligence or your hard work. Pure doctrine is a gift from God. God gave you pure doctrine when he gave you his holy word, which was caused to be written by the Holy Spirit himself, which are profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for training you in righteousness. Pure doctrine was given to you as a gift when the Word of God became flesh, fulfilled all scriptures by dying and rising again for your salvation, and taught his church that all scripture teaches about him. Yes, pure doctrine is possible, because the God by whom all things are possible, the God who cannot lie and is the source of all truth, has given you pure doctrine through his holy word. Nevertheless, you might object. I mean, lots of churches have the holy word. if they all don't have the same teaching. And this is the, here is the source of the great doubt, which causes many to say that there are so many different churches. How can you possibly know which one, if any, teaches the truth? Can Lutherans possibly make such a claim to be completely, without being completely arrogant? Well, yes, you can. Yes, there are innumerable churches that teach that lots of different things. And if you discount those church bodies that reject the Bible is without errors, there are still many different churches that all claim loyalty to the Word of God. So how do you know that you have pure doctrine? First, you must understand that Scripture not only is the pure doctrine given by God, but it is the purifier of all doctrine. You heard God speak through the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God's word is like the fire that melts the silver so that the dross can be removed. God's word is like a hammer. Miners must crush rocks to separate the valuable minerals from the waste. This is what God's word does. When Scripture rules and is the source of all your teaching is pure. Nevertheless, when Scripture is ruled over, then your teaching is not pure. The Orthodox and Catholic churches both claim that the Holy Scriptures are part of the tradition which the church has handed down to you. This means that they deny that the Holy Scriptures are the only source of pure doctrine. That is how they are able to deny that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, apart from your works. Even though Scripture clearly teaches that in Romans in chapters 3 and 4, in Ephesians chapter 2, and in other places in God's Word, they give the church the authority to interpret the Scriptures. Whatever the church says the Scriptures mean, that is what they mean. Even if the church says the opposite of God's Word. In other words, they do not let the Scriptures act like a fire that removes all the dross, or a hammer that separates the waste. They place the church and human traditions above the authority of the Holy Word of God. Although the Protestant churches differ in many ways, they're all the same in one regard. They place human reason above the Holy Scriptures. One example of this is their teaching that the finite cannot contain the infinite. It sounds like a very simple statement. Finite means it's limited. So a 20-ounce bottle is finite. It can only contain 20 ounces. If you try to pour 30 ounces of liquid into a 20-ounce bottle, it will overflow. Human beings are also finite. A human can only be so big and can only live so long in one place and in one time. This is true. So Protestant churches use this argument to prove that Jesus' body and blood are not present in the Lord's Supper, because Jesus is a human being. True. And a human being cannot be in more than one place at one time. And this is also true. Therefore, they conclude that Jesus Christ cannot be present at numerous altars with his body and blood, while also ruling at the right hand of God the Father. Now, the problem with that is that this teaching is nowhere taught in Scripture. It is a logical syllogism, a which contradicts the clear teaching of Jesus in Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture teaches you that Jesus' body and blood are given to Christians to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Human reason disputes this clear teaching. But if God's word is a fire and a hammer, then human reason must give way to the pure teaching of the Word of God. You can be confident in what you have been taught in your small catechism because the small catechism is not some additional teaching to the pure teaching of Scripture. Rather, the small catechism is the pure teaching of Christ, which has been purified by fire and the hammer of the Word of God. It teaches what God's Word teaches without the dross of human reason or tradition. This is why you must always learn your catechism. It is your job, every one of you, to judge what I preach to you. Not to judge it based upon your own personal preferences, your feelings, or your thoughts, but to judge my preaching based upon the pure Word of God, which is clearly laid out for you in your small catechism. In order to recognize whether the fruit I dish out to you is good or bad, you must know what good fruit looks like. And your catechism teaches you what good fruit is. Now, this is not only to say that those who belong to Lutheran congregations will go to heaven, because remember, you are saved by faith in Christ alone. There are many who belong to churches that do not have entirely pure doctrine and who still trust in Jesus Christ, their Savior, for the forgiveness of their sins and salvation. Nevertheless, just because you can't be saved by attending a church that teaches falsely does not mean that it doesn't matter whether you attend church and what teaching you listen to. Jesus warns you against false teaching because it can be harmful. God speaks in Jeremiah concerning the false prophets. "So they do not profit this people at all," declares the Lord. False teaching does not profit you. It hurts you. The false prophets in Jeremiah's day told the people that it would be well with them when they stubbornly followed their own hearts. I'm sure that made them feel good for a moment, but it did them no good at all. God remained displeased with their idolatry and sexual immorality, and he punished them for it. The false prophets harmed the people they lied to by not warning them to repent. I mean, would you go to a doctor who only gives you a clean bill of health, even when you are sick? Do you want to go to a dentist who would lie to you and say that you have no cavities while your teeth are rotting away? Would you be pleased with your lawyer if he told you that you had a winning case, even though he knew that you would lose when you go to court? Well, of course not. Then why would you want a preacher to lie to you only to make you feel good? It is a sin to skip church. That is to despise God's preaching and word. It is breaking the third commandment. But saying that upsets people. So should you stop saying it? It would be a sin. It is a sin to have sex outside of marriage. Couples should get married before they move in together. Scripture is abundantly clear on this. But saying that upsets people. So should you stop saying it? Should you stop preaching the Ten Commandments because you might offend someone? Many churches do. They have stopped condemning sin as sin, and so not to offend. Are they helping anyone? No. God tells you that refusing to preach the law does not profit anyone. Rather, it hurts sinners worse by not warning them to repent. so that they can receive his forgiveness. Pure doctrine is important because it gives true comfort. False teaching does not comfort you. Rather, it robs you of comfort. Why is it important that you teach that you are only saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone and not by your own works? Because if you trusted in your own works, you would lose the comfort that Christ gives you by dying for your sins. Does it matter whether you baptize babies or not? Or is it just some tradition that you have? Yes, it does matter. Baptizing babies gives great comfort. It tells you that baptism is God's work, not yours. It assures you that God has washed away your sins and the sins of your little children. It assures you that God has given them faith even before they can speak. Denying baptism to babies denies them God's grace and forgiveness. Nevertheless, baptizing them gives them and their parents confidence in Christ. So does it matter whether Jesus' body and blood are present in the Lord's Supper or not? Yes, it does matter. If Jesus' body and blood are not present in the Lord's Supper, then you are just eating a remembrance meal out of obedience. It means that the meal does not give you the forgiveness of sins. It means that you judge Jesus' teachings against your own reason. It means that Christ is far away from you in heaven and not here with you on earth. But if Jesus' words are true, you can trust them even against your own eyes and reason. Then you have confidence that Jesus is with you with his peace even today. Although every one of you should continue to be a student in the catechism and faithfully hear the word of God taught and preached regularly, you do not need to be a scholar for pure doctrine to benefit you. Pure doctrine benefits the newborn baby when he's baptized just as much as it benefits the elderly grandmother in the hospital bed when she hears that Jesus died for her and that her sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Pure doctrine benefits all who have faith in Christ because pure doctrine gives Christ. It gives his forgiveness. It gives his righteousness. And it gives his salvation. You know, no one has died with a greater certainty that he'll go to heaven than the thief upon the cross to whom Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." Despite the fact that Jesus was nailed to the cross next to him as a condemned criminal, this man was confident enough to acknowledge that Jesus was the King of Heaven to ask him to remember him. And the pure words of Jesus gave the repentant criminal confidence to die upon the cross. Now, I don't know if he knew anything about baptism. I doubt he knew that Jesus just hours earlier fed his disciples his very body and blood under the forms of bread and wine for the first time. Nevertheless, I have no doubt that if he had survived the cross, he would have devoted himself to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, prayers, been baptized, and learned all these things. Nevertheless, even with that one little sentence, the man benefited from Jesus' pure teaching. And with those words, he gained eternal life. They're saints in Christ. Pure doctrine saves because Jesus saves. When you speak pure doctrine, you're not speaking a science formulated by men. You're speaking about the words of your Savior, the words of eternal life. You want to hear pure doctrine because you only want to hear Jesus. Jesus teaches you to watch out for false prophets because he loves you. He is your good shepherd who speaks to you, and you, his sheep, want to hear only his voice, because only he can give you the words of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son has purchased and obtained us as your flock by the shedding of his blood. Keep your sheep from all arrogance and short-sightedness and from the many wolves that prowl and seek out our harm. Shepherd us through your word, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have provided pastors to preach your word, administer your sacraments, and shepherd your people. Guard them from leading your sheep astray. Grant that through their preaching, your people may be pierced by the law and saved by the gospel. Finally, shield them from the assaults of the devil, who would silence your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember all families, Lord. Make each household a place of prayer and devotion to your word. Bless parents of young children with patience. Give comfort to the childless. Abide with the fatherless, widows and orphans, the lonely and those separated from their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, fill all government authorities with fear of you, and let their service foster and preserve peace. Have mercy on our people and our country. Let our youth be brought up in the discipline and the right knowledge of you, that they may recognize both your law and your way of salvation. Watch over, guard, and keep our service men and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you are a fortress to your people. In your temple, we think on your steadfast love in Christ. Hear us on behalf of all who need healing, strength, and comfort, especially Carol, Steve, Kathy, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Roger, Deb, Mary, Bobby, Billy, Carol, and the Clad Baby. Defend them from the attacks of the evil one and cause them to join in your praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Oh God, give us a great hunger and thirst for the life-giving food of your blessed sacrament. Keep unbelief and impenitence far from the hearts of those who come to your table. Unite us in the fellowship of the pure teaching of the apostles and prophets, that we may give no offense and bring no division, but eat and drink in faith for the forgiveness of sins and the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died upon the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, as it is in heaven. us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. Take, drink, this is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. For this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Take, eat. This will be the true body of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if you ask for your sin, by the Father's hand, and every blessed people who love this grace.
Shed for remission of all your sins.
Take, drink, the true body of Christ.
That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee peace.